I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a milli every week. I wanna be a billionaire. I ain't getting no sleep till I see a billy every week. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire. I wanna be a billionaire. Billionaire.
Ladies and gentlemen, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Now today, ladies and gentlemen, you are in for a treat. I got a creative director. I got a producer in the building. He goes by the name Be Creative / Robert Beck. How you doing, King?
What an intro, man. I love that.
I mean, you know, I had to prepare myself.
You know, you got me excited for myself and this.
Well, you should be excited for yourself because, you know what I'm saying, those titles aren't easy to obtain. You know, people could call themselves a producer, but don't really even know what a producer actually does. Because from my experience, producers wear many hats. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They don't just, like for example, with music, they don't just make the beat.
Correct.
They don't just pay for the beat. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like they don't just put the artists together. They do all of that.
They're arranging the whole production and the marketing and like...
Yeah. All of that. You know what I'm saying? That's just in the music side of things. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, like I was interested in your story. You know, you recently won an award. You know, we'll definitely get to that. You know, I want to talk more about the entrepreneurial side of your grind that got you to where you are today. You know, where you started from. How'd you even obtain the success? How'd you even think about wanting to be in this creative space, you know, and produce this space. And, but you know, let's start from the beginning, man. Where are you from?
I'm born and raised in Hollywood.
Okay.
Right. I went to Hollywood High. I mean, like just like born and raised everything Hollywood.
Mm.
So like I got lucky. My mom, I was conceived in Korea, but then my mom wanted me to be a natural born citizen.
Got it.
So that way I have better opportunities since she didn't and her family. And I was going
to
be that moniker.
Way to go, mom.
Yeah, there so big ups to moms, real shit.
Right.
So, oops, I don't know if you can press
say shit.
Okay, cool. But so I was born and raised here at UCLA.
Mm.
And then so that's been my life. This is home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's up, man. You know, and I feel like a lot of people, you know, living in California that I've met, you know, have a advantage when it comes to getting into the entertainment industry because this is like the Mecca, you know, next to New York as well. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you know, you have an end, but it's surprising how many people take it for granted. They're like, I'll do acting whenever I got time.
Yeah,
or
I'll
do this whenever I got time. And I'm like, I'm looking at it from afar. Like I was looking at it from Florida, like, yo, I can't wait to get this.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
I'll hustle everybody. I'm not playing. And when I got here, I'm just and people just, it's kind of like Floridians, right? The beach is right there. So
yeah.
Like, I go to the beach whenever.
True. So they never usually go.
Yeah, you know, so they go whenever they feel like it. And it's like, I couldn't take that approach coming here. Like, I don't think nobody can.
Yeah.
You know, but you know, you growing up in California, tell me, you know, what did you always want to be in this creative space? Like, how did you even get into that, even as a youngster? Like, what did Robert want to do at that young age?
That's a good question. But all I recall and remember, same thing, is in junior high, since elementary school, I always loved to draw.
Mm.
And I always saw other people that
same here.
Yeah.
Like, I used to do sketch art, like, look at cartoons and draw.
Yeah. Are you good with, like, faces and stuff like that? Because I'm, like, horrible.
Well,
I was horrible with it.
Back then, again, this was, like, over, like, about 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But I used to, like, look at pictures and draw.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It would be, like, cartoons, you know, because
gotcha.
I was young. So
yeah,
I was looking at Bugs Bunny, Donald Duck, and drawing them, but to perfection.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
But yeah, continue.
To the point that you're tracing stuff like that. Yeah. Like
yeah,
I
yeah.
mean that's what I love to do. So for some reason I just had a knack for that.
Mm.
And I just loved it. And I was a kid, you know, 5, 6, I didn't know what this is gonna lead me to.
Yeah.
But I would see people better than me. There were these twins, it was brother and sister.
Mm.
And they could just draw from their head from like nowhere, and I would see them draw. Their name was Zach and I forgot her name, but they would just draw from like their head, and I couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
I would always need references or trace, or I would practice that way, you know. So I wasn't born with that natural skill set that they did. So I'm like, oh, there's everybody could do art, but everybody has them in different forms, or they're born with it in different ways or levels.
Yeah.
So looking at that, that kind of inspired me to do better, to draw better. And then from there, I moved on to junior high, still do the drawing in different types of mediums, and then I looked at billboards and movie posters, and I'm like, that's what I want to do.
Mm.
I just knew already. So
how old were you at this time?
Probably in junior high. How old are you? Like 12?
Yeah, 12, 13.
Yeah, 12 around there.
Okay.
So like I already knew right then and there. I'm like, I'm going to do movie posters. That's what I'm doing for a living. And I like that. And I'm like, I'm going to figure it out.
So when you say do movie posters, you mean like the design of the movie posters?
Correct.
And for the
company? Yeah, so it's called key art in the industry. So like you do key art.
Key art.
Yeah, key art.
Okay.
So it's a key it's the key art that drives the film, whether you want to do awareness or teaser, or you just want to push for a certain campaign for certain demographics, or you just want to get a feel, it's called key art. So it's like, it's a key art that's driving that campaign, the marketing, or the whole film. So that's why it's called that.
So what films have you worked on with this key art?
Yeah, with key art?
Like the big boy, the big ones.
Whoa, that's, so I've been doing this since I was 17. I'm 33 now.
Okay, congrats on that. Yeah. More life. I just turned 34, actually.
Oh, real shit, that's cool. So I've touched almost every piece of feature film that's out there with assistant and major studios, but...
Well, what was the one you were most proud of? I know you're probably proud of all of them.
Yeah,
but the one that was like, oh my God, I killed this.
That is a good question. You know what? Not even in key art, but like from the key art going to the standee, which is like what drives that thing as well, is like Skyfall. Okay. That was really... Not
Skyfall, that 007?
Yeah.
Okay.
So like I did the standee, the international domestic one, and that won the campaign and best Clio. They got a Clio Award Gold. So like, and what was amazing about that is like when I was working at this agency, they were about to shut down and I was still, everybody's kind of like giving up. They're like, oh, the company's gonna be sold out, whatever. Yeah. Nobody knows what's going on. So let's just like, you know, fuck around and just do nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm like, fuck this. Like, let me keep pushing, see what I could go. And then like, then I could use more resources. And I was talking to more producers. And I was, I'm the type that just roams around like everywhere I'm at. I just like to ask questions. I'm curious. How are you? What you doing? And then, so then I got to meet the producers.
That's
and
how was, we met, actually.
Yeah, exactly.
We met at the Dame Dash studio. Exactly. And then I had a camera. You were like, oh, you do camera? What do you do with the camera? And I was like, do this. What do you do? Yeah, I do with the camera too. Oh,
exactly, exactly. Yeah. And you just feel the vibes and like that. Yeah. So that one was special because even though we were falling apart, I got that. I was awarded that in the company and the team, but that was my design and structure and everything else.
Yeah.
And so it just meant a lot because it helped. Like it won domestic, international. When you win campaigns, it's either just a domestic or an international campaign.
Yeah.
But it was a both. It was doubled. You know, like I'm like that was really cool. And knowing that I did that from scratch myself, so like and then with the team that helped me produce it, it was amazing.
Yeah.
So that gave me a lot of validation of like everything I've been doing, but that meant a lot for me at that time. That was one of my milestones. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, and then from there, I kept doing stuff like what was another good one. I did more of the production side for the Bumblebee movie.
Okay.
We did
Transformers.
So we got a Clio Grand Award, which is like the biggest award that you could get. So this was last year, I believe, and then that had its own story and drama and whatever, but like I came in on the production side and helped produce that with a team. And then it was fun because I promised myself that I would never go back to the industry as far as like theatrical advertising, because I started my own company at 25 just to get away from that and build my own better situation and run it the right way I felt. And which in turn just turned out to be, it just ended up being kind of the same as whatever I was running away from.
Yeah.
But that award meant a lot to me too, because I got to meet with all my friends that I haven't seen in a while. It was like family, like a reunion. And I mean, like, drop all that shit, like all the ego and like, you know, I don't want to go back. And I went as a freelancer, I contracted. I went back, I did that, killed it. We did an amazing job. And then we found out months later that we got a Grand Clio, which was amazing. I'm like, all right, cool. So like everything that I've been involved with, luckily through whatever myself or with my team that I choose or that I'm involved with, there's always awards, there's always accolades all the time.
Yeah.
But I never... They come so often that it becomes numb after a while. It becomes just numbers or stats.
Oh, man, I wish I had that problem.
So like it's crazy to think that, not that I'm ungrateful, but after a while, when you're doing that since 17 and you're winning awards every single year, every month or so, it just becomes a number and a stat. And you're so busy executing for the next award, for the next thing. So you're not having time to step back, savor it, and just smell the roses, you know? You just don't have time for that. They don't give you time for that, too. So, and if you do, then you're fired.
I hear that. So, I mean, but you definitely got to have time to enjoy life. You know, it can't just always be work, work, work. You know, I mean, you know.
I didn't know that back then.
Well, being that you just shared that, you know, what do you do now to unwind from the industry?
So, what I do is I've actually been more on the producing side now. So, instead of, like, being the actual designer or the creative director or some parts in the production or whatever, I'm now producing the job. Like, they give me the
what
job.
Do you do to unwind from the industry?
Oh, okay, like, cool, cool. Yeah.
No industry. What do you do to chill?
To chill, just to get away from everything. Yeah, okay, cool. Sorry, I didn't fully process
it's
that.
It's all good.
Dude, I go have delightful, eventful, meaningful times with human beings.
Okay.
And then, so for example, I was telling you earlier, like, if they invite me to the beach for a bonfire, mm-hmm. I'm up for that over at a club, over yeah, yeah, whatever. I'm like, yeah, let's go.
Yeah,
or just a club. One-on-one, mm-hmm. let's go have a picnic, or mm-hmm. let's go for a hike.
Mm-hmm.
I, by just observing and helping others, that helps me unwind too.
Okay.
And so, like, just doing that thing, just even this, like, this is just helping me unwind. Like, I'm like, I'm not working,
right.
but it's part of a work process and journey, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not work at all.
Right.
And this is fun, this is amazing, but this is an unwinding situation for mm-hmm. me.
There you go.
Yeah, so, like, this is fulfilling me with energy, you know?
There you go.
That's more, that's an unwinding thing for me. So, right. stuff like that.
Now, that's what's up, man. You know, I tend to, yeah. like, you know, go to the gym, you know, even
yeah.
though
that's true,
that
that's
kind of... contributes to work, you know, with the look and shit, because I do acting as
no,
well.
No, but that's unwinding, though. It's an outlet.
You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, it's like a stress reliever. You know, me and my girl, we travel.
Yeah.
You know, we about to go to Seattle, but, you know, just last year, we was in Paris. We went to Italy. We just
that's
came
beautiful.
Back from New York last week. So it's like, yeah, we do that to unwind. Take some edibles from time to time.
No, real shit. Yeah, no.
You know?
Big ups to cannabis and edibles. Like, it really, I'm a strong supporter of that.
Do you invest in any edible stocks? Not edible stocks, but cannabis stocks?
No cannabis stocks, but I've also been in the cannabis industry doing, like, branding.
Okay.
So back then, I worked with a couple law firms. Not going to mention the names, but mm-hmm. they help create and they own the Dan Brazilian line. So,
yeah.
So
what was your part in that?
I helped consult because what they wanted to do was basically build IPs, intellectual properties.
Mm.
So they wanted to buy out or help develop companies that are kind of like on that threshold about to make it.
Yeah.
And then I would help refine that. And then so it could be packaged. So it could be either flipped or they could just build into a bigger IP.
Right.
So that's... I've been in that involvement, but also in the grassroots of it, just like seeing an older farmer's market, seeing where it's been from like nothing, mm. of like hush type of thing to like, all right, now it's a thing. And now the OGs are really starting to come out and it's still not all out yet.
Yeah.
So like the OGs are coming. When that comes out, that's going to be the real gold rush, you know, like or the green rush.
Right.
So
right.
like, I mean, but right now it's just like in infancy. Like right now it's a time to get in. No, like even the next 5 years, you're not going to be late.
Right.
You're going to be fine. So like
and but it's best to get in now.
Right? Yeah, but it's best to get in, of course. Yeah, because then you're a pioneer.
Yeah.
You definitely want to be a pioneer. But also, like, you're not going to be late because there's going to be so many opportunities from it. There's food industry and mm-hmm. beverages, and then there's medical, there's, what is it, hemp.
Soon the whole damn nation going to be high.
Yeah, no, really. And that's how it should be. Everybody yeah. should have, like,
everybody
good vibes.
Everybody should be high.
Yeah, just chill out, like,
but we're all high, we ain't going to get no work done.
Real shit. And then, like, you got to release all that stress, dude. And that's one of the things that are really helpful. And that's helped me with my depression. So, so that's been one of the key factors to help me as a tool.
So tell me about this depression, man. What do you sound like, you know, you've been chasing the dream since you was young. You know, you started with the creativity with drawing, and then it kind of led up to, you know, working in the film industry. And, you know, you just graduated to all these awards.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell you got to be depressed about?
Yeah, so when you're working in an industry, it's a grind 24/7, literally, and you don't sleep for like 3 days straight,
mm-hmm.
and you have to get stuff done. And if you don't, then it's not going to be done, and you don't get awarded, or you just don't win the campaign, and it's on you and your team. And it's a vicious cycle. So, like, you can't, like, not do it.
Yeah.
You know? And you can't hand it off or get somebody else to, and hire them to do it because there's only selected few that know how to do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Or the studio picks you because they like your style, your branding, your, you know, graphics.
Yeah.
So, and they know that you understand how they communicate or what
mm-hmm.
they expect. So, so you don't really have a full choice or at that moment, or doesn't feel like it. But it's literally 24/7. And also the politics of it. It's like they award the producers and the admin more than they do the creatives. It's always very upside down, and that's what I didn't like about it. That's why I left to start my own thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started my own thing, I was doing it like I was awarding the creatives and everybody was equal. But then close friends of mine in my first company embezzled money from the company. So like,
yeah.
And then that left me dry. I couldn't pay my vendors. I didn't know what to do. So then I'm like, all right, cool, screw it. Like, my old friends, like, took my shit, whatever. I'm like, cool. So, like, move on. So I moved on. and started another one, and I was doing good as well. That's when I started more production, doing more commercials, more VFX, and all that kind of stuff, and music videos. But then just that grind is also 24/7. Like, no, there's not, you don't have a big team that can help you execute everything. So you have to be on it from like 6-7 in the morning starting, and then you end up going home like at 3 or 4. That was me. That was my daily grind.
Running the company. So where did the depression come in?
Because I started drinking a lot more just to relax. So to relax and to ease out of all that stuff, I wasn't being active. Like, I wasn't healthy. I wasn't eating right. I wasn't going to the gym because I didn't have time, or I just didn't make time for it. And then so I would start doing, I started doing drugs. Like, I would go out, partying. And I was always in, the type of person that was straight edge since I was a kid, since I was like 28.
Yeah.
And then like when I just started doing, you name it, there's everything that into our access. There was cocaine, a lot of liquor, alcohol, and it just like it just spiraled from there. Damn. And then from there was a lot of neglect because I never really saw my family, my mom specifically. So like it's always like, you're always working and that's more important. And like, yeah, but like that's my moniker. Like, I have to work so that I can support you guys and give you guys a future. This is what you had me be born as an American citizen here to give you this, and I'm being like, I felt like now I'm being not a kind of attacked, you know?
So what was the lowest point during that depression? What was that lowest point for you?
The lowest point was when I stopped drinking, but then I just recalled back into it. And it was ironic because I was awarded a documentary job. So I'm like, to celebrate, I just had one shot of vodka, and that one shot became two bottles. And I'm very high tolerant. So like, I just get buzzed, but I'm still under the influence.
Yeah.
And then I got in a fight with my sister. And then after that, right after, I got in a fight with my mom. And I don't have any triggers. Nobody could tell me, you're this, you're that, and it wouldn't bother me or faze me. But my mom and my sister gets at me. That's my core, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't deal with that appropriately. So I got in a fight with them. Then after that, I just went upstairs somewhere and then just, like, tried to put a knife to my veins and try to do it. But ironically, I fell asleep because I was so drunk. Woke up, I was regretful, tried again with pills, didn't happen. So from there, I'm like, you know what, fuck this, I'm switching. Like, I have a choice. Like, I tried to kill myself, didn't happen, universe didn't let me. So let me make a change for myself and therefore really help others the way I want to. Because I've always been also what was part of that. I'm very giving. I spread myself very thin. I would help others before me. I would pay them before me. Because I understood the situation, I empathize. But then, like, if it's like when you're that analogy, when they say, like, when you're in a airplane and you're with a baby and you're the mother or the father, like, if it's going down, you have to put the air, the oxygen to yourself first to help yourself in order to help your baby.
Absolutely.
By instinct, you want to help people or the baby, but, like, that's not the way it works. You're not going to survive. Both of you are most likely going to die.
Right.
So, like, I learned that afterwards, you know, and then through that. So I'm helping myself, healed myself. And then and now I'm choosing jobs selectively, and which has been even better, which led me to that VMA. And then from there, I've healed from there. Like, I just, I'm happy after that. I've learned.
You know, that's what's up. You know, I'm glad you came up because a lot of people suffer from depression and, you know, mental illness and stuff, and that they just don't know how to overcome, you know what I'm saying? They just end up, you know, fucked up, you know what I'm saying?
Or shameful to talk about the culture, like us. Like, what's your background? Like, what
did you grow? Dominican.
Oh, so you're Latino, Dominicano. So, like me, I'm half Peruvian and half Korean, but I was raised Latino. But, like, you men do not get depressed. They're not suicidal. Right. If you are, you're lazy, or you have nothing else better to do, or...
We're very prideful, you know what I'm saying? We never got the chance, because every time we tried to get lazy or say, you know, moms would just slap the shit out of us. Exactly, and like, what are you doing? Go clean the room, do something. So,
exactly. So that was always, like, you do not talk about it. You do not express it. You are a man, and a man is this, this, and this, and that. And I'm like, all right, cool. I will be a man then. But this man was crumbling and crying inside and didn't even notice it until it just all just spiraled all in one instant.
Yeah, seems like you had it all bottled up.
Exactly. Just, not knowing. I didn't even know I was going through depression or I was depressed. I was always, I've always been a very happy, outgoing person. But inside, yeah, it was building and building. Like, it was dormant, I guess. Or not even dormant, but it just, like, not active that I could see.
Well, I'm glad you got over it, you know, because, you know, if you wouldn't have, you know, you wouldn't have got that award.
Yeah,
that
BMA, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And that's why that's also symbolic, because after that, right after my depression, that was the first job that I one of the first jobs that I picked up for Normani's Wife's music video. And I got to produce it. I got to assemble my team. And then I was very
selective. So as a producer, what was your role, like, specifically?
You know, so they came to me with that video. The director, Emil Nava, already shot it and had a vision for it. And then the label and the director, or the producers of the director, came to me and said, we need to produce a bunch of VFX for this video, which is like 80-90% of the whole video. Can you do it within a unrealistic time frame, which was like, I think, a week and a half or so? It was 9 days. 9 days versus, like, usually that would take maybe 2 months or a month and a half if you're going super fast. But yes, my background's in VFX, so I know I could get it done, but it's going to cost more. And also, I've been through stress. I don't want to go put myself through stress, even though we're going to complete it.
Yeah,
I already know what's going to happen, and the all the management issues and all that kind of stuff, and things that get lost in translation because it's so rushed.
Yeah,
you don't have time enough just to organize things and prep things. Would take a couple of days, but we had to start, like, right then and there.
Yeah,
so I had to make a choice whether it's a yes or no. And then finally they agreed to my whatever, my, the budget and the timeline. It was going to be a little bit over 9 days, I told them. It was 11 days, I think, or 12, and they were okay with that. And so the label had to be okay with that. And then so I had to figure out how to get so I got a producer, Julia. And then shout out to her. I love you. And that's another woman, entrepreneur, power woman that I just support all day. So, Julia, I love you to death. And so, and all women out there, just hustling.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they got me to do, to produce the video and do VFX mainly. So I got my team to do that. And then we produced it. That's a story in itself. It was very, not stressful for me, but it was anything you could imagine happened that was bad or whatever, but we still pulled forward.
Yeah.
And so that's why that award after that was very symbolic, because even through all that trials and tribulations, like, it still came out with a win. And, like, with a major win. It was a its own category, Best R&B.
Yeah.
And it was her first nomination and award on MTV.
Yeah.
And also her performance. So everything just all came together, which is really dope. And That's why I'm happy about that award. Not because you're the Moon Man, which is amazing, and not many people could say that, but it's what we went through and what I went through, and then this came out of it, you know?
Yeah.
So it is true. I'm a proof of concept that if you do work hard and you triumph through everything, you just keep going and you don't give up, and you just take a step back a little bit just to leap forward, it's going to happen. Yeah. It's going to eventually happen. It's a patience game. It's not a waiting game, but it's a patience game. A lot of people like to be like, oh, it'll happen when it happens, and they wait and do shit. You know, like, no, you
gotta do the work.
It doesn't come, and you're not seeing results. It's okay. Just keep going, keep going, keep going, keep going. Just like what you're doing with the, like, you're just pumping them out. I love that you pump these videos out every single moment you can, because it's just a matter of seconds that already it's doing amazing, but it's going to pop off like a mother really soon.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, and it's just a patience game for you while you're doing action.
Right, but a lot
of people wait and like, oh, well, I'm going to wait for the right moment, or when this happens, when I feel this way, like, it's not going to come to you. Rarely, yeah, it might, but you're not, and chances are it's not going to happen. So, what the fuck are you waiting for?
Exactly.
Just waiting for nothing.
Next thing you know, you're dead.
Yeah, exactly. And you're waiting. But, no, it's a patience game. Yeah.
Nah, definitely, man. I totally agree with you, man. I mean, shit, man. They say every overnight success is a 20-year process, you know? And it's like, I feel like, you know, with just being in that, having this dream of mine, you know, just to basically live off my passion and my creativity. I've had that for like past 20 years.
I love that.
And it's always been constantly creating. But I always had a foundation. Like, before this, I had a sales background. I was in sales for 10 years.
What kind of sales? Like,
telemarketing.
Oh, more dude. Than anything, oh, man.
Door to door.
That is real hustle. Like, real hustle.
Telling with your cold calling, warm calling, hot calling, all of that. Knocked on doors for Verizon Files. You know, I did all of that. But I feel like if I didn't go through that process, it wouldn't have built me for what I'm going through
now.
Because I wouldn't have had the patience. I wouldn't have had
the resilience, the tenacity, the etiquette,
you know what I'm saying? The work ethic, the communication skills, the people skills, you know, you need all of that to be in this industry, you know? And I thank God I went through that process. Because if I would have rushed it and came to L.A. prior to even having a sales job, L.A. would have chewed me up and spit me out.
Right, you know what I'm saying?
And I always heard stories about people coming to L.A., then, you know, getting chewed up and spit out, living out their cars and all this stuff, you know, and I wasn't trying to be that dude.
Even the people that have it, like, say, like, monetary things or resources, they still get chewed up and spit out. So if you're not doing the hustle, you think it's just, you're going to wait around, it's going to just happen. No, dude, like, you got to really keep going. Like, it's like, even for the people that you feel that have it or they're lucky, like, no, they're still working every single day to maintain that or to get to their next goal.
Right.
Like, it's a constant hustle.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not just, like, you reach your goal, like, all right, cool, I'm chilling. All right. It doesn't work that way. You got to keep grinding.
So let me ask you now, for someone who's interested in getting into, you know, producing, creative director or special VFX, how do they obtain the work? Like, is it just a word of mouth thing, or there are websites like LA Casting where you can submit your work and then they send you, you know,
work? It's a variation of things. It depends what you want to do and how you want to approach it. But in general, just because this is it's a specific but vague answer, because everyone, to each their own, there's not a one answer. That's what I learned in the industry in LA. It's like, what worked for them, worked for them. And that formula is not going to work for you because you're your own individual.
Yeah.
You speak differently. Your culture is different. Your approach, your mission is different. So, or slightly different. But you could try to take the goals, I mean, the some parts of it, and to, I guess, reiterate that, the parts that I got out of it is just create with friends. Some people just want to, like, go out there, shoot a video, just do anything. Just create content and... Just build a concept. Like, hey, like, let's go out to the park and I want to do this moody thing that's slow motion and no words. Just, like, I want to do this slow motion, went through the hair type of thing, and I want to color it a certain way, and I just want to get it done. Cool. Just for what? For nothing. Just want to do it. Cool. You just pile that on, and all you're doing is really practicing your craft, and then eventually you're going to refine and define what you really want to do. I'm like, oh, you know what? I want to do short films. I want to do short format. Or, you know what, my passion, actually, by doing this, I've discovered that I'm a better writer than I thought a film producer or just a film director. So I'm going to do more writing. I'm going to explore that. So what I would suggest is just explore, do. And then from that, you're going to see which one sticks better to you and which one is your strength. You're going to realize that your strength is whatever is easier for you. There's less resistance, less energy that you're doing to get a better output. So, like, you just focus on that and you figure it out. And then to get the jobs, you have to go out there and meet and greet. Go to networking events. Go to, like, how I mentioned, the Dame Dash studio. Like, just, like, stuff like that. A lot of people, like, they're homebodies. They're hermits by nature for some reason.
Yeah, because they're always at home, playing in the cave.
Yeah, and it's, like, they just need to get themselves out there and talk to another human being, make a connection. Yeah. And they're going to want to help you out because they're like, yo, like, I fuck with you because you're amazing, and, like, let's create together, or let's do this together. And just by being out there, you expose yourself and you create a number. It's a numbers game, and odds are that you're going to be working with people, and that person can connect you to, like, a big director or producer, or it's going to connect you to the big event that's going to lead you to that. Everything leads you to something else. And it's like, and yeah, you might have a mission, but just with that mission, just expose yourself, go out there. Talk to people. Say, hey, you know what? Do things for free. Even a lot of people are very private. Like, oh, I'm not gonna do shit for free or whatever. Like, offer free things that are less, and that's not gonna take so much out of you. But just be like, hey, you're like, I fuck with that. Let me do this for free. I'm just gonna do XXX. Take it and do whatever you want. But I just want to be part of it. That'd be dope.
Yeah.
And, like, cool. And then, like, that. And then from there, you build and you act like that. And accordingly, people will respect you. Like, yo, like, that fucker didn't charge me. He wasn't, like, being a dick, and he made amazing things for me for the next project. And they think of you. You're gonna be in their mind for the next one. So, you know, but if you're not there and you don't talk to people, it's out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how talented you are. I've seen the most talented people in the world not get anything because they don't put themselves out there. They don't talk. They don't say what they do. Mm-hmm. They just keep everything to themselves. And they're geniuses. Mm-hmm. But they just don't know how to interact with people, or they just don't even try.
Yeah.
And then it's just that when you make that human connection, and that will solve all your, like, sales issues and, like, you know, not all of them, majority. Like, hey, brother, like, can you help me out with this? Do you have a budget? No. But do you have somebody that could help me out? Like, yeah, you know what? I know somebody. You know?
Yeah, that's what's up. It sounds like there's a variety of outlets to utilize and a lot of methods.
Yeah.
You know, and it's It sounds like you kind of got to do all of them.
You have to do all of them. See which one works for you.
Right. You know, and I like that. You know, I like going to networking events. I like going online and, you know, seeing what's out there and submitting.
What's good, too, is just to be specific, too. Like, if there's a go to Eventbrite. Okay. You go to Eventbrite and you go to, like, there's different categories. If you pull down the menu or you just type in, like, networking events for film industry. And you'll see all these events are coming up or are really local. They're majority free or they're just $10 minimum. And you know that if you do pay, I know a lot of people don't want to pay, but if it's $10 to $20, pay it. Because it's quality. Because what people that are paying, they're there for a reason, they're there for a purpose. So like that you'll get more quality leads. So you get quality leads and people that actually know their stuff or they're really hustling. Versus the free ones, the people are just kinda like, I'll just try it out, get the free drink, see what's up, and you'll meet some cool people, but like, chances are maybe not because they're just trying to go out there and freeload off of the free stuff. But you also will, if you're a good person on knowing how people are, you could read out like, you know, that person's cool, or they may not be able to offer me anything, but it was a great conversation that I had with them. Just take that out of it, you know?
That's what's up, man.
Yeah.
Well, shit, well, let the people know where they can find you for your services and check out some of your work to where they more opportunities
for sure
come forth your way.
So go to my Instagram. It's Be Creative, and you spell it B.CR and the number 3 and an ATIV. So that's where I'm posting most of my content, and also I have a Facebook, but from there you could go to my Facebook. I'm going to have my website up soon to explain further what I do, because I do have a very exponential.
Do you have the name of that website
already? It's going to be becreative.com probably, but I haven't, it's unofficial yet, because I have a bunch of them, but like I'll see which one I want to do. So, but yeah, but right now just go to my Instagram, just Be Creative, and then you'll see all my updates, and you'll see, I'll be posting more like, and I do give like advice for creatives, like where to find networking events, how to network with people, as far as the creative process of like how to like break down a Photoshop document, how to like do some VFX tips and tricks. So all that stuff is going to be in there, and they are in there currently. And I just share stories too, so that way people could be inspired and help them through that, through my stories to help them out. And luckily it's been really cool. Like lately it's been amazing because through that I get reached out on the daily. And I give out tutorials, I give out help.
You do that on YouTube? Like the tutorial?
No, not YouTube yet. I'm going to though.
That's what I was going to say. Because when you said tutorial, you're talking about teaching people how to do VFX. Like I find, because I do editing as well. I'm on Adobe Premiere Pro. And a lot of stuff I don't know, I go straight to YouTube University.
It's amazing,
type it up. And there's somebody there doing it. So you can do that. And not only can you teach people, you can monetize from
for
it.
For sure.
So you definitely want to take that into consideration.
Also, like lynda.com is really good too if you want to learn like all type of industry stuff, even marketing and business.
Lynda?
Like lynda.com. It's Lynda. Lynda. .com. It's spelled differently because of the person's name.
So I'm going to check that out. That sounds interesting. I definitely need to learn more. Lynda.com, man. Yo. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Sleep is for Billionaires, the podcast. I am your host, Johnny Vegas. Robert Beck, a.k.a. Be Creative. Thank you for coming through,
man. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate you, man.
Thank you, guys.
I wish you much success, my brother. You got a lot of things going for yourself. Just keep going, keep hungry, and keep winning.
You too, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I love it.
Stay tuned for more episodes to come. Thank you for watching.